This is my friend Walter.
You must excuse him, he's my friend Francois.
It's so wonderful to think how God is leading us. I had a call to Elderberg College to be the pastor there. That's our theological college in Somerset West. But I declined the call the first time. It came back a second time. I declined it the second time. And so my wife said, "You go." And you know.
And you listened.
Well, at that time I listened. So he was living down at our college. And I came, and this is when I met him. I only have one passion. And that passion is to proclaim the three angels' messages. And he joined me in my series, and this is how we started to get this excitement. We've worked together 24 years now. Every day of my life I pray for Walter. Who saw his DVDs?
There's a couple.
Yeah. Well, this is a live show tonight. He's going to speak to you. May God bless you as you listen to us this weekend. English is not my mother tongue. I'll be making mistakes. And Ellen White says, if the pastor is boring, pray for him. So may your prayer life increase. Nog iets is there?
Niks. Be gentle on him. He's old and he's tired. But if you go strolling with him in the Middle East, you better eat a strong breakfast to keep up with him.
Thank you, Walter. Has anybody been to this place that you see on the screen? Well, this is where John Wesley experienced a strange warm feeling. I'm reading it to you. It happened at Aldersgate Street, not far from St. Paul's Cathedral, that's in London. A plaque tells the story. Wesley had been seeking peace of mind. Maybe you are seeking for peace of mind. Assurance of divine acceptance, but without success. But on entering a chapel here and listening to the reading of the introduction to Luther's commentary on Romans, with its emphasis on righteousness by faith. What a message. He suddenly felt his heart strangely warmed. And this is a message that strangely warms our heart every time we think on it. And he writes, he says, "I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." What did his warm heart do to his horse? Have you read his biography? Well, he got on his horse. He galloped 250,000 miles. And his master preached 42 sermons. Strangely warmed. And he kept on preaching. The poor horse. I wonder what he got for this horse at the end of his ministry. Let me tell you where my heart became strangely warmed. And it still continues. Besides the message of salvation by grace. I don't know, has anybody visited the Middle East here? Okay. Has anybody been to Lebanon? Great. Can you tell me where this place is? Tyre. I'll have to be careful. Walter, I'll have to be careful. But this is the place where something happened to me. And I still think back of that moment. Well, what do you see in this picture? Still in Tyre. We call this a necropolis. Let me just explain to you what necropolis means. That's necros. Necros means death. Yes. And polis, city. Yeah. So this is the city of death. You'll be living in this city if you grow old enough. And what do you call this? This is a sarcophagus. Yes. It's made up of two words, sarx. What does sarx mean? Flesh. Fago, eat. So they put the corpses in a sarcophagus and the stone somehow ate the flesh. Sarcophagus. Well, I was there with my father. I met Dr. Siegfried Horn as well. And we went down with a taxi, came to the necropolis. And the archaeologist was opening the sarcophagus. And for the first time, I saw the remains of a corpse. You know, that corpse gave life to my heart. I was strangely warmed. For the first time, I looked at the Phoenician discovery. Now, why was my heart strangely warmed? Well, later on, I discovered that she was a Phoenician. And then I realized the Bible is true. There was such a civilization as the Phoenicians. She's from Tyre. Is that biblical? Is Tyre in the Bible? Yes. And this is where all the excitement began. She's a Canaanite. Is that biblical? Yes. And my heart was pumping. Well, you're looking at an interesting seal. Who knows? She could have been related to a queen of Tyre called Jezebel. Jezebel. This is a seal they discovered at ancient Samaria, Sebasti. Egyptian Phoenician symbols of royalty and divinity suggest that it belonged to the queen. You know, throughout my research, the evidence is that this book, not the hymnal, but the Bible, is the most reliable book ever written. No ancient literature can compare to the poetic beauty of the Bible. And when you read it, that beauty becomes part of you. Where did Jezebel spend the rest of her life after she fell in love with a chap by the name of Ahab? Yeah. Where did she spend the rest of her life? In Israel. He married outside the church, and Jezebel transferred to Israel. Well, what was Jezebel's husband's name? Ahab. Where was his capital? And where else? Naboth. Jezreel. He had two palaces. What was the courtroom called in ancient times? And here you look at it. The Bible speaks of the elders in the gate. They ask all the old people to sit in the gate. Why? Are old people more intellectual? No, they've just made more mistakes than the young people. So the elders of the gate, this was the courtroom of ancient Samaria. 2 Kings 22:39, now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, the ivory house which he built. Ivory house? Well, any evidence of ivory found in Samaria? And this is what I like of the Bible. When I read the Bible, I check on every word and I start researching. And this is exciting. Guess what I found in the British Museum? Ivories from Samaria. This is just part of it. I've got a greater selection. Guess what happened to my heart when I stood amongst the ruins of Samaria where Ahab ruled? My heart was strangely warmed. Because the message of the Bible is authentic. You can trust it. When I read literature, I'm not sure, you know, if the author is spot on. But when I take the Bible, I know I can trust every word written there. When was Samaria finally destroyed and by who? Help me. It was destroyed in 722. Let's read this verse. It says, 2 Kings 18, 9 and 10. In King Hezekiah's fourth year. The Bible is very specific when it comes to dates. And you can compare the Hebrew calendar with the other ancient civilizations' calendars. And you get a true picture. In King Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. At the end of 3 years, so it was a very strong city, the Assyrians took it. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. This is sad history. Gradually they went down spiritually and they lost everything. So if you want to be a loser, just be disobedient. Well, my friend is back at Tyre, and later in the week I hope to give you the report of what happened at Tyre. But you must come back for that. Now, the most heartening revelations are still to come. You're looking here at one of the greatest fulfilled prophecies. The entire city of Tyre was dumped into the sea. But it took 3 centuries to fulfill this prophecy. First by Nebuchadnezzar, and then by Alexander the Great. Well, let's move on. Can anybody tell me where this picture is, the steps? It's not a very common place or name. Let's go there. Here's my friend Walter, sitting next to a place where they dyed clothes. By the way, these people were brilliant. I studied the Sumerian language. And I want to tell you, you have to be brilliant to follow the structure and the grammar. So instead of going up like us, hope to be, we're actually going down intellectually. Let me read this. The site is most famous for the Ebla tablets, an archive of about 20,000 cuneiform tablets found there, dated from around 2250 BC, written in Sumerian script to record the Eblahite language, a previously unknown language that is now the earliest attested Semitic language after the closely related Akkadian. Now, can these tablets from Eblah tell Mardik, help us to appreciate the Bible a little more. And this is so wonderful about archaeology. Here you're looking at script from Ebla, and it's interesting to study it. Sometimes there's a little hand showing you to read this way and then down, and then the hand would say go up, and you can follow it and you can read it. It's a marvelous language. Now what about mentioning names of ancient pagan gods? You know, the Bible mentions some of them. Can we find them on these clay tablets? Yes. They verified the worship of pagan gods such as Baal, Dagon, and Asherah, known previously only from the Bible. You know, the best sources available to people 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, was the Bible and Josephus. They didn't know anything about these names. Ebla said, here they are. They found the name of Ur of the Chaldees right here, pointing to the site in Iraq. Now, there are other sites that they tell you when you visit the Middle East, birthplace of Abram, but Ebla tablets tell you exactly what it is. And names of cities thought to have been founded much later, such as Beirut and Byblos. By the way, Byblos, the name for the Bible comes from Byblos. Bibliography comes from this site. A very interesting site in Lebanon, and I visited the place a few times. They just leap from the tablets, crying out, the Bible is true. And on the same tablets, picked up the names of Damascus and Gaza. You've heard of Gaza. Gaza's always in trouble. Are mentioned as well as two of the biblical sites of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. So these tablets referred to cities that were still in existence in those days, before the destruction. So these tablets go back a long way. Then they got names like Sinai, Salem, Hazor, Lachish, Gezer, Dor, Megiddo, and Joppa. So the Bible is true. There were cities like this. Here you find them. Guess where this is? This is Bab et Dra, the modern name for ancient Sodom. Bab in Arabic means, can somebody tell me? Gate. And that's where you get the name Babylon from, Bab Ilu, the gate to the gods. Salvation through a system. False religion. But this is Bab et Dra, ancient Sodom. It's mentioned in the Ebla tablets. They search for the site. They've identified it. Guess what happened to me when I visited the ruins of Bab et Dra? My heart was strangely warmed. The book is authentic. What word has originated from this place? Can somebody tell me? Sodomy. Sodomy. This is where the word was born, because the Sodomites lived there, and the place got the name Sodomites. And Paul mentions the Sodomites speaking to converted people, and so were you. So it's possible for any gay person to change to normality. Just a thought. Did they discover any Bible-related personal names? We're back at Ebla. Yes. Esau, Jabal, Abramu, Bila, Ishmael, Israel, Mikael, Micaiah, Saul, David, etc. So here you've got all the Bible names going back to the time of Ebla. Here educated scribes filled their ancient libraries with written records of history, people, places and commerce. And suddenly the world of Abram became exciting. So you can believe the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Archaeology says it's not a myth. It is true. Can you tell me the name of this lady? Nefertiti. Do you know her husband's name? Akhenaten. Do you know the girls? Mekhetaten, Meretaten, Ankhensenpaten. All ending on A-T-E-N, meaning that they believed in one God. A tremendous story. I've got a lecture on the monotheists of Egypt. Now, her husband's name, Akhenaten, used to be Amenhotep IV. Now, at Eblah, they discovered 400 cuneiform tablets were discovered which were part of the royal archives of Amenhotep III, who started monotheism, believing in one God, because the Egyptians were polytheists, believing in many gods, Khepri and Horus. They had a horrible list of names. And Amenhotep IV, Akhenaten, who reigned about 1400 BC. Now listen to this. This is tremendous. Are you looking at monotheists or polytheists here? Monotheists. This is Akhenaten and Nefertiti with the little ones on the laps, Mekhetaten, Meretaten, Ankhensenpaten, and Nefer, Nefru, Aaten. Ending on A-T-E-N, monotheists. Egypt was shocked by the truth of one invisible God. You know, people don't like to change their religion or their concepts. They say, usually they say, don't confuse me with the facts, Walter. Don't confuse people with the facts. That's our comfort zone. Anyway, you're looking at something marvelous here. The sun is not worshipped in this picture. It's just a symbol of the good God pouring out these blessings upon people. And whenever the sunbeam reaches the nose, there's the Ankh sign, which says you get life from above and a hand supporting you. This is a lecture on its own. Any other recorded monotheists in antiquity? Yes, Cyrus the Great. Adad-nirari III, from the time of Jonah, who became a monotheist, leaving polytheism and accepting the message of one God. Unseen, too big to describe. Among them were letters written in Babylonian cuneiform script to these pharaohs of Egypt by various kings dwelling in the land of Canaan and Syria, written during the time of Moses and Joshua. This is interesting. They provide the first evidence of the Hebrew tribes entering into the land of Canaan in ancient times. I like the discoveries from Eblah. Did they find anything on the creation story? I was so excited when I read one of the clay tablets. Two copies of the Babylonian Gilgamesh epic were discovered, which is a pagan version of the biblical flood. Babylonian epic Gilgamesh, a pagan version of the biblical flood and creation. Yeah, there you see it. Three beautifully preserved copies of a creation account were translated that bears close resemblance to the account in the first chapter of Genesis. Do you like this? Yes! The older the clay tablets, the more close it is to the original. And I've mentioned the source here. You can read the book for yourself. And then this man goes on 13:1-13, Lord of heaven and earth, the earth was not. The poem's name is Lord of Heaven and Earth, and then he writes, the earth was not. You created it. The light of the day was not. You created it. In a short space of time, Ebla tablets. And then another author who researched these tablets says, the Eblaite account of creation is also dramatically different from the later creation records, such as the Babylonian Enuma Elish, that means something interesting, when above, and the Epic of Atrahasis, which date about 1600 BC, and have grotesque absurdities, such as gods fighting and cutting each other in half, making the earth from one half and heaven from the other. Silly stuff. Clearly, the more elegant account is the most ancient and does not support the evolutionary notion of the ascent of man. Ebla tablet says, God created, he spoke, and it was. What are you looking at? I love these clay tablets. People of antiquity were exposed to the Babylonian account of creation and the flood. But whenever error is proclaimed, God calls a Walter fight to say, this is the alternative. And he calls you and me to stand up for truth. Babylon is still proclaiming its lies. God wants you and me to proclaim the truth of the book. The Ebla tablets gave people an alternative. God is the creator. Let's give him the credit. Why push him out of the picture? At Ebla, my heart was strangely warm. The book is true. You know, Walter and myself are fighting a war against people who want to degrade the book. And we've devoted our lives to tell people there's no other book like this. Enuma Elish, when on high. Did the people who live here long, long ago sang? Yes. Ebla had a large pantheon. Do you know the term pantheon? It means many gods. They were also polytheistic. They worshipped many gods. Yet, it cherished a hymn to the Lord of heaven and earth. Isn't this wonderful? A song in heathenism. Hymn to the Lord of heaven and earth, who can only be the single monotheistic master of the universe. I like this. Did the people who live here long, long ago sing? Yes. By the way, where do you find the words Lord, heaven, and earth? Genesis 1 verse 1. And this is a merism, we call it a merism, where two opposites defines a totality. That means the entire cosmos. And the Ebla tablets follow the biblical style of writing. Merism. Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days. Whenever you find a numerical adjective before the Hebrew yom, grammar says this is a 24-hour period. I like to believe what the Bible says. For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. This is the three angels' message. And rested on the seventh day. He wasn't tired, but he communicated with people. You know, At San Diego, Susan came and welcomed me. I rested in her hospitality. And on the Sabbath, God wants to rest by having special communion with us. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. When was the hymn of creation written? Pettinato provides the translation of this remarkable hymn of praise written. It will be recalled 1,000 years before the biblical text written by Moses, about 1450 BC, and thus completely refuting the notion of oral tradition. They wrote long before people thought they could write. We greet Ebla Pottery and seek younger discoveries. Tell me, where are we now? The Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. Who built this wall? Herod the Great, yes. Proof of it? And this is what I like about archaeology. What do you see here? Coins from the time of Herod the Great, and you can read his name. Herodou Basileus, Greek. Copper coins of Herod bearing the legend Basileus Herodou. Coins, inscriptions, and Flavius Josephus cry out, the Bible is true. This is interesting. You look at one of the large stones that Herod the Great built, 750 tons. The stone you're looking at there. He was a great builder. The Bible mentions his name. Archaeology says yes. He was a great king. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, wise men from the east, Carchemish, next to the Euphrates River, came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For I have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. You can believe this, really. There you see some more coins with his name on. King Herod. Where is this? Masada. Where was he buried? Near to Jerusalem at the place called Herodion. Cone-like structure. Let me just go back. While I'm explaining to the cameraman, I took a picture of me telling the story of it. I took a little too long, and then I heard a whistle. This is my daughter calling me. She was very impatient. She told me, let's move on. In Arabic, they say, yalla yalla, let's move. And it was such a pleasure to look at the site where this man was buried. She found the site where his sarcophagus was discovered. And there you can see it on the arrow. This is wonderful. And just recently they discovered his sarcophagus. Can you remember the name, the meaning of a sarcophagus? The stone that eats the flesh. And once the flesh was eaten away, they took the bones in a smaller sarcophagus I like that American expression. Can you put your volume a bit up? Brilliant. Ossuary. I cannot speak American, but I like it. Here at the Herodian, my heart was strangely warmed. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, beheld wise men from the east, Carchemish, next to the river Euphrates, came to Jerusalem. They studied Daniel chapter 8 and 9. came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star," group of angels moving, "in the east and have come to worship him." I like the Bible. When I read it, it tells me how bad I am. But at the same time, tells me of somebody who offers his merits so that I can be saved. When I look at myself, I don't know how I'll ever be saved. But when I look at Christ and his offer of salvation, how can I get lost? You recognize this place, those people who traveled abroad? Where is this? Bethlehem, house of bread. Do you know the song? Can we sing a cappella? To study a deep subject, the incarnation of Christ, left his glory to be part of my misery and pain. Strangely warmed when I visited these sites. You're looking at the original steps that led to the Palace of Caiaphas, a recent discovery. Have you heard about the discovery of his palace and his sarcophagus? And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people." This is correct theology, by the way. "And not that the whole nation should perish." The name Caiaphas, the Bible mentions his name. Was there really a high priest like this? Yes. Was there really such a man who wanted to crucify Christ? My heart was strangely warmed when I saw his name on his newly discovered, give me that name in American, ossuary. Thank you. 10 out of 10 plus 2 points for neatness and pronunciation. You know, my heart was strangely warmed when I saw this. And in the Israel Museum, Walter and myself searched for this. How many people did we ask to show us the place, Walter? All of them. They couldn't show us the place, but eventually we found it. And when I stood here, I realized the book is true. Who built Mukavir and who inherited the fortress? For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Loretta, tell me, can we really believe what the Bible says about Herod Antipas? Yes, Roman art and excavated coins cry out, Herod Antipas is real. There you've got it. He married the daughter of Harit the Fourth. That's an Abatean name. Greek name, Arietas the Fourth. You read about this king in the book of Corinth. Second Corinthians. A wonderful story, Petra, the king, the daughter of this king who married Antipas. Well, artists speak to us through pictures. The Bible speaks to us through eyes and ears. Luke 23 verse 11, then Herod with his men of war treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate, ruins of ancient Caesarea and Loretta, tell me, have you found any evidence of a Roman governor called Pontius Pilate? In 1961, this tremendous discovery was made at the amphitheater in Caesarea, an altar dedicated to Caesar Tiberius with the inscription Pontius Pilate. My heart was strangely warmed. The book is true. The evidence is just flooding. The stones cry out loud and clear. There was an historic Christ. He really died for sinners like you and me, so that we might be saved. My favorite author besides the Bible is Ellen G. White. I discovered just more and more about this lady. You know, in Hebrew poetry and in Ugarit script, you have interesting ways of writing, chiasms, Hebrew parallelism, and she also follows the star. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. This is ancient Hebrew poetry. He was condemned for our sins in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness in which we had no share. Too good to be true. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his. With his stripes, don't punish yourself for what you've done in the past. With his stripes, we are healed. My prayer is that your heart will be strangely warmed as we all study the greatest book that was ever written, God's love letter to you and me. He's just about to appear in all his glory and majesty. What is going to change when he comes to take us home? We're going to lose our corruptible nature. You know, I fight with myself every day, sometimes with my wife as well. But this is because of this fallen nature. I told Pastor Bob about my garden. I pull out weeds continually. And then I think the garden is... And then it comes up again. I've got to pull it out. Same with my heart. I've got to... But one of these days, I will not be pulling out weeds. Let's start getting excited about heaven. Of all the crucifixions that took place in the Middle East, they only found this one. What is a spiker, Walter? A nail. I'm testing his Afrikaans. A nail driven through an ankle. Of course, this is not Christ, because he was risen. Pastor Bob, tell me, how much do you appreciate Christ dying for you, having a nail through his ankles? If it was only for you, he would have done it. Speak to us.
Even if it wasn't just for me, if there was no one that accepted his gift, he would have still died.